Welcome everyone.
Oh shit, this is a wrestling podcast.
To the Pro Wrestling Spotlight presents True Hill Heat 55. We are live from True Hill Studios, and we are here to discuss all the wrestling news that's going on today. And that means, yes, we're going to be talking about NWA and the Jim Cornette controversy following NWA Power. We're going to be talking about CM Punk's debut on WWE Backstage, as well as the latest and a preview of the entire WWE Survivor Series weekend. It is me, your True Hill Phenom SP3, and to my far left over here, we have the returning, the wounded but not down, the John Cena of True Hill Heat.
Never give up, bitch!
Never give up! No injury can keep this man down. He is the True Hill resident alcoholic himself, Top Guy JJ.
Oh,
welcome back
God.
To the show, Top Guy JJ.
Well, thank you. Oh my God.
You missed your cue.
Listen. First of all, if anybody knows me, knows I'm off the rails. So I don't do shit on schedule.
Of course.
Nothing happens on schedule. Right. And shout outs to the fans in the back. You know what I mean? We got some special guests up in the crib. Up in here. You know, we got back from True Hill Heat. What was it? Seven?
Three.
Seven or eight?
Three.
Three.
Literally three.
Secrets. The security Steve, like, oh my God, security stash.
He's in the house, securing the
one of the originators, one of the pure security guards that lifted Baby Seth off his feet and dragged
his carcass. He lifted his soul from his body.
He lifted his carcass and dragged his mutilated carcass? Body out of the True Hill Heat Center.
And held him up so Mimi could slap him.
Vicious slap,
yes,
too.
Yes.
Vicious slap,
good
too.
Stuff.
So shout outs.
Good stuff.
And of course, you know, listen, last but not least, you know what I'm saying? I've been waiting for somebody to drop in here for a minute now. you know, hey, bro, what's up?
I didn't even get to introduce you.
I don't give a shit. You brought a special guest with you.
Anytime.
No. I'm gonna let the lovely Chrissy mention who's here tonight in this.
Well, to my nearest left, we have the beautiful, the lovely, the princess of all the True Hills, and the True Hill bottle girl herself, Miss Chrissy Love. And yes, in our studio audience, front seat of our studio audience, we got our new addition to the True Hill Heat YouTube channel. You guys are going to see him this weekend on SmackDown Review with the Lynches. We got Mr. Larry. Larry,
Love.
Mr. Larry Love over here.
Wait, what? Wait. Come on, man. I thought you were going to bring the ruggedness to this
show,
man.
They got to have the same last name. They're married.
Wait, all right. This is very true.
Okay.
Right.
Come on.
Yo, wait. That was a weak-ass high five.
Hey,
first
damn.
That shit was weak as fuck. That shit, I don't know what was going on with that.
He's trying to deflect.
Welcome, my brother. Welcome to the show, man, and welcome to the True Hill Heat family. I can't wait to see these reactions you're gonna have to this amazing show you're gonna watch.
Amazing show
you're gonna watch tomorrow. The spectacle called SmackDown Live, baby.
Hey, all of Raw, NXT, and SmackDown will be on the show tomorrow. So you guys stay tuned.
Oh.
For the SmackDown review with the Lynches. So he finally hit his cue. Finally. It took him only an hour.
Hold on. Little ping balls. Hold on. Big boy brought his little cousins. You know, he brought his little cousins, you know? You know what I mean? And then you know, little Juice got little Juice. You know what I mean? Where's the cups?
Possibly. Yeah, there we go. Where's the rest of the bar?
Like, shit.
Our producer over here, thank you.
What about these puppies?
Oh, you must be new.
You're blocking the YouTube.
This is what we usually
do. You must be new.
So yes, our resident True Hill alcoholic is getting this ready. We gotta start off every True Hill Heat the same way. The True Hill roll call.
There's a lot of bodies in here, so.
Okay, please save your comments for being upset with Chrissy eating on camera again for following the True Hill roll call. So, the top three conversation starters on our True Hills group page are True Hill Trinity. Coming in at number three, Jamie Tonuk is back in the top three. It's been a while, Jamie. Welcome back to the family. The true face of the True Hills group, we got Steve Salvage coming in at number two. And once again, at number one, once again, I think this is like 10 consecutive weeks or something like that, the Negro Buck, Nick Jackson.
Yo, shout outs to my boy Nick Jackson.
Nick Jackson, before you put it in the comment section, your t-shirt is on the way. Please don't put it in the comment section. Of course, I'm going away. I got a couple other things, a baby on the way. It takes a while, Nick. It's coming. It's coming, Negro Buck. Don't super kick me. The True Hills that we got a shout out, Ted Williams, Joe Bellelli, Al Terrace. We got Johnny Murdoch. Walker Freebird Child, Benjamin Fabu, and Jamal Curtis Barker Jr. YouTube subscribers we gotta highlight Ramon Collazo and Davidson Rither. He had a couple of cool comments about our new three count with SP3. He is enjoying that we're giving more frequent news updates on our YouTube channel, so shouts out to Davidson for leaving a comment on our three count with SP3. So on the last True Hill Heat, we made a couple of huge announcements, the new additions to our True Hill Heat YouTube channel. You've been seeing the first two editions of the three count with SP3. You're going to have one more edition this week over across the pond in London. I'm going to give you one more three count with SP3 for the week. You've already seen the premiere of Drunk Guy JJ with Going Raw with Drunk Guy JJ, and wow. This man took 7 shots. God bless him and his liver. We appreciate him. You got the Romeo Report coming up. You got the SmackDown review with the Lynches, like we said before. So the next two...
Salud to all of the True Hills.
Woo!
Mr. Love, you too.
There we
Mr.
go.
Mr. Stash, you too.
He can... There you go. He's lifted up.
Salud.
There you go.
Shit. Boom. Get out your phone.
Damn, okay.
Get out the phones. It's already
out.
Anyway,
get your head out of your phone.
The next announcements that we got to make for our YouTube channel. Coming up, I think either Baby Seven has to confirm with me, either later tonight or tomorrow morning, we're going to have the premiere of NestXT, our NXT reaction and review with Pothill Ness. Pothill Ness, he breaks down all the action.
Pothill Ness, really?
Yes, so if you guys are just watching AEW Dynamite on Wednesdays, you can check out NestXT. He breaks down all the segments from NXT, so watch that. And AEW Dynamite review with my good friend Jimmy McAram and Marcus Cash. Jimmy McAran has a great YouTube channel I've been promoting on here, promoting our power reactions and review. Reaction and review for all of the Marvel Netflix TV shows as well. So you can check it out on the Jimmy McAram YouTube channel. But now he is coming home to the wrestling YouTube channel home, which is True Hill Heat, with his AEW Dynamite review. Jimmy McAram has not watched professional wrestling in well over 4 years. AEW Dynamite is the reason why he is now watching professional wrestling after a 4-year sabbatical. So you get to have his reactions and reviews right here on our YouTube channel. So let's hear from the Spotlight and the True Hills before we get into our top news.
All right. The Negro Buck says, love y'all. Thanks for the shout out, JJ. Congrats on the baby again, Sid.
Thank you, sir.
You know what? That is probably the only time I condone positive comments to SP3. Yes. Congrats, my brother. I hope everything is completely smooth. And very soon, yeah, there's going to be an annoying little SP3 running around.
SP4.
No, it's little SP3 to me.
SP4.
No, there's too many numbers.
I'm literally going to yell to my child, come forth. Come forth. Yes. All day.
Yo,
all day.
Not even all officially day. Papa yet, but already on track to being most annoying dad of the year.
True.
All right, and the question of the day comes from Steve Salvage. What did JJ do to his arm?
He had a John Moxley, pretty much.
So to make a long story relatively short, I had a pretty severe, like, little scare that was very sudden. No, Mr. Love, it was not a masturbation accident. Listen, I don't need that. So I had a very, very severe inflammation that took place very similar to, unfortunately, John Moxley's. So it was very similar to MRSA, which my hand like exploded, like blew up like four times its size.
Yeah.
And yeah, I literally had went overseas to London and it got cut open in London. And
whew.
Yeah, and that's why there's this, the gory stuff to hide, the gruesomeness, because it's pretty tough. But I'm here, and thank God, because it could have been a whole lot worse. And yeah, so that to make it. Make a very long story very short. That's pretty much what happened, and thanks for asking.
Yes. All right, two more comments from Jamie Tanuk. He says, I thought SP3 was the little SP3.
Good one. Good one. A short joke. Yeah, I haven't heard that in 30 years. Anyway.
And Jarmoris Moss Warren says, screw AEW. Let's talk WWE.
Oh.
Okay. I guess you want to talk about t-shirt bras. So let's talk about all the t-shirt bras. Because if you wear red and you wear blue and you wear black and yellow, you're going to fight. It doesn't matter where. It doesn't matter when. You see somebody with a red shirt, you're wearing a blue shirt, you want to fight. You see somebody with a black and gold shirt, it doesn't matter where it's on site. It's automatic. But no, we're not going to start out with that. So, yes, we got to start off with our main top news, which is...
Just a quick shout out to the... Yo, not for nothing. Yep. Quick shout out to you guys on the True Hill Heat page. So far, good job. I'll say, there's two good comments in this fucking episode. What the fuck is wrong with me?
Continue, go ahead.
It's a pretty good job with the three counter. Like, it's pretty good dialogue, right to the point. It's short, sweet, it gets you your information. If you don't know what's going on with the wrestling news, please check out the three count. You get your information, it hits hard, it hits fast, no homo. And basically, you get whatever you need. You get all the wrestling information that you need right on spot. But I just need to hit this drunk guy shit.
What's your problem with the drunk guy?
First of all,
I think he had the premiere of the year.
First of all, you guys do not care about him. Like, oh my god! Like, you give him the worst and longest show to review.
Yeah,
y'all. First of all, all right. If he's gonna be a hit, we need to put him on a show that's shorter.
He totally got.
We need to give him SmackDown.
He totally took so many shots. He completely forgot the Buddy Murphy.
Yo, he forgot what shot he was at after four.
Yes, he did.
Like, he was like, I'm at shot.
Yeah, he legit had three before the Lana segment.
You know, it's like,
he had three before he got to the Lana segment. And he got so drunk off the three shots, he did not take one for the Lana segment, even though he said that was the worst segment of the show.
He took a shot. Like, he was so discombobulated with his shots that he literally, off the worst segment, he didn't take the shot for, but he took a shot off the women's match.
He took a shot because Triple H came out and ended the Kevin Owens, Drew McIntyre match.
Oh, my God.
But, yes, we got to get to the news. We'll talk more about Drunk Guy JJ and the rest of the fellas, and we're going to talk about the whole week.
But shout-out to your sacrifice, man. You know
it's
what?
It's been a great week so far.
You know what? I salute you for that, man. I'm damn sure ain't doing no Raw reviews with my liver on the line because I'm dead. I'm dead.
We got to kick off with the NWA Jim Cornette controversy. Yes. Chrissy Love, before we went on air, said that she wasn't aware of what happened, so we are going to break the news to her, focus the camera on her face, because I think she's going to be surprised. So, NWA Power for November 19, 2019, the opening contest was NWA World Champion, the National Treasure, Nick Aldis, going one-on-one with former WWE superstar Trevor Murdoch.
Pause. Wait. She has no idea about it.
She has no idea what the comment was.
Oh, Mr. Love, you might want to listen
to this. He has no idea what the comment was.
Oh, you might want to listen to this.
So.
You'll get tuned right in after you hear this.
NWA color commentator Jim Cornette, the always controversial Jim Cornette, a decision that a lot of people weren't liking when NWA hired him as a color commentator. Earlier in the week, actually, this is one that not a lot of people are talking about. Earlier in the week, on his podcast, he came out with a comment talking about Justin Roberts after reviewing, I think it was AEW Full Gear. And Justin Roberts, basically a fan, a kid in the crowd, was hit by accident. So Justin Roberts went up to the kid, got him free merch, kind of like raised the kid's hand and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Jim Cornette went on air and said, Justin Roberts, with the way he's dressed and the way he's smiling, I would not want him near any kid. He looks like a pedophile. So that was one. So that he already was on a couple of people's shit list because Justin Roberts didn't deserve that because he was doing something good. So
right.
For him to do something like that.
Yo,
but
Justin Roberts is a good dude.
He said that live on air.
He said that on his podcast.
His
but
on
this
podcast.
Was live on
this
air
on
NWA Power during the Trevor Murdoch Nick Aldis match. In reference to Trevor Murdoch,
table is sturdy enough.
In reference to Trevor Murdoch, Jim Cornette said, Trevor Murdoch is the type of guy who could ride a motor scooter with a box of KFC strapped to his back in Ethiopia without anyone bothering him. He's a tough dude. He could take care of himself. These comments led to the November 19th NWA Power being pulled off of YouTube by Dave Lagana and NWA.
Can you pull up to who he talk? Can you pull? I need to see this person.
Oh, Trevor Murdoch.
Let us see who Trevor Murdoch is.
Let us finish your dialogue while I show her and Mr. Love who Trevor Murdoch is.
Yes. So NWA basically apologized for this. They pulled the episode. They then re-uploaded the episode with the line muted out. After that, the following day, they released a press release which said that Jim Cornette was officially resigned from the NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance.
Yes, I remember. Okay, I was like,
earlier
so
today,
familiar.
This is Trevor Murdoch.
Earlier today on Instagram, the Jim Cornette Instagram, or so we thought, put out a public apology about the situation. And then further on Twitter, Jim Cornette and his real Twitter basically said that that Instagram was fake and that he didn't apologize.
So wait,
he does not apologize for his words and his actions. So stay tuned to the Jim Cornette Experience on his podcast. He's going to reference what happened, the whole controversy, and the fact that he was resigned. So what are your guys' thoughts? I'll kick off with you since this is the first time you're hearing about it. What are your thoughts on the Jim Cornette
He
comments?
Said that he's the type of guy to ride on a motor scooter in Ethiopia with
a box of KFC strapped to his
with
back.
With chicken strapped to his back. And nobody would bother him.
Yes, because Ethiopians are hungry and they steal people's food. That's all I hear. Black people steal food.
And you saw the picture.
Okay, but
why? I didn't see anything.
No, but
Let me just rewind this back. Because I feel like when you hear the comment, you want to blame the person who said it. But
no.
But
okay.
Hold on. NWA and Dave Lagana had 7 fucking weeks to remove that. From this episode.
Wait.
7 fucking weeks.
So this was around for about
this was weeks. Taped on October 1st.
Almost 2 months.
2019.
Almost 2 months.
And they did not remove it.
Almost
they
two
put
months.
It out on YouTube. And until people, it wasn't even during the live feed. During the live feed, the comments, nobody seemed to reference it. No one was letting it slide. It was after the fact on Twitter, somebody put out the release and said, how could they let this go on? And then it became the whole shitstorm. So I'll let her marinate on that.
Yeah, right. Like,
do you
the
want
fact.
To, yeah.
No, I'm not gonna push. I'm not gonna throw anything. It's fine.
No. Okay.
You're okay. Don't worry.
I know. I'm fine. I'm just worried about
the fact that
we got to come back.
The fact that he referenced this man on a scooter in this country where there's dark people that don't look nothing like him. Yeah. Not going to steal chicken from him? What kind of... Jim Cornette, you racist motherfucker. Let me tell you this right now. I hope you hear this shit. And I hope you should die. Die in your seat.
I kill yourself. What's
that's
a fair assessment.
Not even Jim Cornette, but the people that behind you, this was out for 7 weeks?
7 weeks.
They had 7 weeks. You had all this time...
Blackface thing.
You had all this time, like, wait, who is there? Are there any black people that work there?
Probably
at all?
Probably not.
Like, the whole show, the whole network, no one, you should not buy a ticket for that show. Burn it down. Like Seth Rollins, burn it down.
Burn it right down.
What was your thoughts, Top Guy?
Like, that is some straight bullshit. Like, that is the most...
You know when you hear people joking in the crib? When you hear people joking in the house? And then somebody just got, like, the little speaker on you? And you just got that little white friend that just says all the racist shit, and it's like, it ain't gonna escape these four walls. He said that shit with a live microphone in front of a national audience, in front of God knows how many people. This is how much oblivious people is around him.
Yeah.
The fact that you can say something like that,
roll off your tongue like it's nothing.
And it literally bingo. Like it just came out like Young M.A. Spitz a freestyle. Like that shit just came out like water. Like he just threw it. If you hear how it rolled off his tongue, it sounds like not only he said it before, that he's gotten plenty of laughter from it before.
Exactly.
I'm
sure. Yes,
so
yes.
He's like, oh, I'm gonna use this on TV.
Oh, this is gonna be
great. My god. So Trevor, wait till I give you my punchline, buddy. Wait till my punchline hits power. And then it's
like he does this on a regular. Like this is like natural to him.
So
this is like regular talk for him. This is like his back. This is pillow talk almost. Like this is rolling.
Right. So and then I mean common basic, you know, white world. Everything is reactionary, not proactive. So based on the reaction, they got reactive and did what they did because they weren't going to be proactive. If nobody said anything, this would have just flown under the radar. Mm-hmm. Like nothing ever happened.
Yep, sure
like it was never said. Now, here's the thing that irked my nerves about it. Now, let somebody like Byron Saxon say something about that towards white people.
Yep.
He would have been hung out to dry faster than I can say dry.
I will say, though, you make a good point, but I feel like the whole reason why this became a bigger thing is because it's Jim Cornette and because he has enemies. Now, the reason I say this is because less than a week ago, Randy Orton went up on Twitch and said, boom, nigga! So,
to who?
Yes, he said it on a Twitch live feed while playing a video game. He said, boom, nigga. And no one batted a fucking eye to that. Because Randy Orton is not Jim Cornette. So, the better question that I have for you guys, how do you think this blame should be divvied up? Because I don't think 100% of the blame goes to Jim Cornette
at all.
I don't mean
I blame
because Jim Cornette is an old dude. Bitch. He's stuck in his ways. And true. NWA knew who he was when they hired him. So how do you think this blame should be divvied up?
But that boils back to my point. So it's like, I get, all right, so here's the thing. What person in y'all circles, like y'all circles, haven't heard the slip up come up? And you give them, and you sit there and you look at them and then they like, oh, shit. I was supposed to say that. Jim Cornette's was a whole punchline. Like, it was a continued punchline. It wasn't a word slip. It wasn't a word spout. That shit was a whole tagline. Like, it was a continuation.
Now, that nigga said that shit
in the morning. I didn't say it. No. When you say it, no. When you say that, that shit comes out. That shit is multiple syllables, bro. That shit ain't like shit.
Yeah.
That shit, it don't come out like that. So that you was
that's
fully
so
intended on saying.
That's so fucking disappointing.
I mean,
we'll get more into that because Randy Orton had an interesting week himself.
I'm not surprised. That's the thing is that how surprised can we be?
Right.
Like, from how surprised
they all
can we
say
be?
It. They
but
all,
that's why
it's all
like
in the damn music. They listen to it. They say all that shit when they say it all the time.
But so, damn, NWA, I was feeling y'all, yo. It's like, yo, I was rocking with y'all, man. And then it's like, y'all let this shit fall under the cracks. First of all, I was like, yo, where's the brother? When is the brother going to reach this television program? Because they ain't got none yet.
I mean.
I don't think there's a black man on NWA Power yet.
I mean, I guess you can claim Eddie Kingston. You can claim Eddie Kingston. But I think the bigger thing is, like this NWA Power, the whole popularity and why it's become a guilty pleasure for professional wrestling fans is because it feels like it's pulled from a different time in a different era. It feels like it's pulled from the 80s. In the 80s, he could get away with saying that. So,
60s.
Yeah, I'm sorry, like, because it's pulled from a different era. If he says it in any other era, if he says it in the 90s, he says it in the 80s, I don't think people bat an eye like they do in 2019.
I mean, it's a very culturally sensitive era
that we're in
we're
right
in
now.
2019.
We're in a very culturally sensitive.
Technology.
We're
that's
in 2019.
Yeah, that's
if you got an issue with something, you can let the world know right now. You see what I'm saying? That's the difference. Back then, you got one or two people making a spat. It would never spread like wildfire. Nowadays, before you even walk out your door, people know what you're doing. You get what I'm saying?
It's true. It's true, but at the same time, it's a fact that it's like you really, at this point in juncture in time, everything has a speaker, a camera, and a sensor.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're gonna be heard. You're gonna be watched. And no matter, there's no getting around the criticism in this world in 2019. There's no way, like, somebody's gonna feel it and somebody's gonna be crazy and sensitive to it. But it's still, to me, it just, I mean, I get that it wouldn't be as big because, first of all, we wouldn't be on True Hill Heat right now if it was 1990. We'd be sitting here dialing each other's phone numbers because we would have actually remembered each other's numbers. Right. Because nobody remembers a fucking phone number anymore because we don't remember that.
We'd be waiting on dial-up to connect through AIM.
So, I get the point of the time jump.
The long extension cord. Yep. Reach all the way
there. But that is how strongly he doesn't give a fuck about his racism.
I mean, he
completely doesn't give a
shit. He basically used the aftermath and all the backlash he was getting to promote his podcast for tomorrow. So he doesn't. It does not faze him.
That's not going to make me watch his podcast.
Let's hear from the
Spotlight
and the True Hills.
I'm not watching that shit.
Let's hear from the Spotlight and the True Hills.
I'll listen to it and I'll let y'all know what he says.
Yeah, guys.
Can you do it in his voice?
God damn, motherfucker, what I said?
Thank you for your sacrifice. I ain't watching that shit.
No. All right, Steve Salvage says, I had to rewind it after I heard it because I couldn't believe Jim said that. Mm. Chris says, Cornette is like that old neighbor that bitches because you make too much noise when you walk. Jamie Tannock says, Jim got flamed so much online, we should rename him Kentucky Fried Cornette.
That was joking.
Chris also says, Cornette versus Hogan at Sweet Saudi Money 405 in a last racist standing match.
Yeah. The only thing they missing from the match is a fucking noose.
Oh, God. Damn.
That's for the black rope.
Chris says, Cornette is more racist than a 13-year-old suburban kid on Xbox Live.
That sounds
about right.
Damn.
Jamie Tannock said that he said in the 90s on two different shows, so not only is he racist, but he's unoriginal. So I guess he's repeated this line before?
Yeah, that's what I said. He's repeated it throughout different eras. He said it in Smokey Mountain Wrestling. He's probably said it on a WWE telecast if you go back to one of the times that he's commentated. So my last question in regards to this topic, do you think this is going to hurt the growing popularity of NWA Power?
The only reason why I'm gonna watch it, so it doesn't matter. The reason why I would say it would not, because keep in mind, we still got a lot of racist people out there, so they're going to keep watching. And for the simple fact that the company turned around and separated ways with him, then it's like, okay, well, we got rid of the bad guy. Question is, who does he get replaced with? Another white guy?
I mean, lucky for wrestling that most, I mean, unfortunately, the predominant fan base of wrestling are white fans. So they don't have a ton of exposure to us. NWA doesn't have a ton. NWA, I'm talking about. Like, NWA in particular, does not have a lot of exposure to us. Like, most people don't know what the hell NWA Power is.
It's not on the channel. It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. So they're probably not going to lose much viewership over it. They might get more notoriety from it so people can pay attention to the shit that they do. So it might enhance them a little bit.
Controversy creates cash, and I mean, I honestly wouldn't have made Cornette resign. I would have kept him on there. It would have helped. The next topic that we got to get into CM Punk's debut on WWE Backstage. CM Punk made his highly anticipated debut premiere on WWE Backstage, making some interesting comments about the current WWE product, including the King Corbin Big Dog segment was bad creative. The blue WWE Universal title is stupid. And what? WWE is overproduced. He also left the door open for a WWE in-ring return and gave some very sound advice to Seth Rollins. He was asked, what is your advice for Seth Rollins? And before Renee Young could finish asking the question, he said, stop tweeting. He said, just don't type, just delete it. He said that when people can think that you're an idiot... and you open your mouth and you confirm it, you should just keep your mouth shut. So, this week's episode of WWE Backstage gained 180,000 viewers. This is up, way up from the premiere episode that had 49,000 viewers. Right. This is up 80% from last week that had 100,000 viewers. So the CM Punk effect is
working.
Is working. So what do you guys think of the premiere for CM Punk on WWE Backstage?
He's doing what he was supposed to do, which was bring ratings. So, which is cool. I didn't see the episode, so I have to just catch it.
Just catch the highlights and catch the segments with him, because other than him, that episode was pretty boring. It was pretty boring outside
of it. It doesn't seem like it's a really good show to begin with. But
Punk makes it a little bit interesting, because at least there's one person on the show that's being honest about what he thinks about WWE.
Right, everyone else just is like...
Everyone else is paid by WWE. He's the only one not... He's the only... Literally, the only person on the show that's not getting paid by WWE. And he literally...
I mean, but they need that type of person to give you the real shit. Because other than that, everyone else is just freaking just like, yeah, this is awesome. No, it's not. It's really not. So, okay, great.
I'm happy that one person is being honest. But... He's not saying anything groundbreaking to me.
That too, that's what I'm saying. The blue belt, okay, a lot of people have talked about the blue belt. Everyone has said they're not feeling the belt. I love the belt. I feel like they should have tweaked it a little bit more, but all they did was just change the color.
Yeah,
it should have been blue.
Literally all it did.
It should have been blue way a long time ago. How
it can't be blue on Raw?
But, I mean... Have the blue, you know what I mean. Have the blue belt go blue and have the red belt go red. Like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, have the brands with the color that it means and it's supposed to be with. Anywho,
makes sense.
It's just that, like you said, he's not doing anything original. He's just, like, talking about things that I'm sure he already was following. He claimed he wasn't. I'm sure
he
was looking at it.
He wasn't. You could tell by the way he was talking about certain things, like when he talked about King Corbin, he was like, he doesn't know Baron Corbin that well. He's one of the newer guys. He hasn't seen much from him. But he said that was a bad first experience. And he said, I quote, after watching the King Corbin Big Dog segment, he reconsidered taking this job.
Oh. Damn.
Wow.
So... My initial reaction, and I'll be honest with you, I felt CM Punk brought True Hill Heat to backstage.
He's like True Hill.
He's not gonna curse as much as us, but he is literally going to bring that opinion that no one else on that program can say, because the rest of them are they got these little mics in their ear. That's little buggies. That has WWE control in their heads as well. So, you know, Paige is dying to join him on all of these.
He's literally dangling the carrot in front of her.
Dying to join
him. When he said the blue WWE Universal title is stupid, he was like, Am I right? And Paige is like, he's trying to steer the pot.
And she, you can see, it's like she's agreeing with every word he says. And,
she really wants to say something, but she knows her position right now.
Well,
right?
To be honest, Punk was on the show, she was the one keeping it real. She was the one that said the whole comments about Seth saying burn it down is corny. She said that Seth is trying to be like Becky and he's failing miserably. Mm. She's been the one on the show that's kind of been the voice of reason with it, but now it's CM Punk.
I really do, because now it's not only the fact that it's not more of what CM Punk is going to say, is that the fact that CM Punk's presence is there, he's going to make the rest of the panel step their shit up. So it's more of the rest of the panel, because they were boring as fuck. To your point, they were boring. Like, they weren't bringing nothing.
Who's the regular people on
there? It was Renee Young, Paige, Booker T, appearances with Christian, and then other people with... You know,
yeah, they have a guest. David Arquette was on this week. Yeah. He was pretty good on the promo school.
So the panel is not really like, oh my god, I need to go tune in to watch this.
Right,
panel.
That's what I'm saying. It's like,
so CM Punk creates that element that's like, all right, he's gonna get. If he can't make them step they shit up, then no one else is gonna make this show successful. He is the perfect spokesperson and a perfect voice for that show, for it to be, to find out right now if Backstage is going to even make it beyond a year.
So the only other CM Punk news that came out is before the backstage debut, he went out on Twitter and had a very interesting Twitter comment. Okay, I don't have the complete tweet up, but basically he said that he's been catching up with 5 years worth of wrestling, and he's been seeing a lot of the good things come mostly from the women, but there's a lot of bad, and that no one was safe. And he tagged WWE on Fox, WWE Backstage, Renee Young, Vince McMahon, and Mr. Tony Khan, TK for the cool kids. So that led to Tony Khan having a tweet, a response over that, and he said, "No one is safe?" Question mark. It sounds like a plane of wrestlers in Saudi Arabia. Which wow. Randy Orton responded with, those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. And he put out a link for an article that talked about Shahid Khan, Tony Khan's father, being investigated for corruption. Hold on, before you react. The article was from 2017.
That's what I'm saying. That's
so Randy Orton then, I think,
he's messy too. Like, go sit down somewhere. Like,
so, Matt,
what you like? What are you doing? Like, go to your kids and your wife. Like, another person that should stay on my damn Twitter. Stop. Just stop. Don't do nothing. Just go to the ring, do your job, and leave. That's it. Don't do nothing. Don't talk no more. You have been revoked, sir.
Matt Jackson replied to the tweet. Charlotte Flair, as well as Britt Baker, Tony Khan, with one of the best. Dropped the mics on Randy Orton, responded to Randy Orton's tweet, and said, yeah, I thought you only tagged me when you're trying to get leverage for your contract negotiations.
Facts.
One drop of the mic.
Facts.
Then he picked up the mic and said, that article was actually from a year and a half ago, and it was all by former employees basically making up allegations about my father. Second mic drop. Then he picked up the mic one more time and said, that article came out a year and a half ago. Since that time, you said the N-word on Twitch. Sorry, Orton.
I don't even think he dropped the mic. I think he just had two mics in his back pocket.
Oh my god.
And just dropped them all.
I think you should have just shut the fuck up, Orton. Like, you just said the N-word on Twitch. Why are you even responding to this tweet?
No.
Nah, but you know what? You know what? It's like Randy Orton is actually sometimes actually pretty decent.
Yeah, he is. He is.
So, but he didn't know that Tony Khan had that kind of heat coming back.
He was a savage.
He didn't know that clapback was coming. He didn't know the clapback was real. Because Randy Orton is actually pretty good on Twitter. Seth Rollins needs to take tons of notes.
Because Rollins is just proof that for one of the
WWE men, he's actually one of the better ones on the Twitter handle. You know, not speaking like the natural heels like Kevin Owens and those guys, but Randy Orton is actually pretty good. But he just got his ass handed to him by Tony Khan. He definitely got his ass handed to him.
Let's hear from the Spotlight and the True Heels.
Chris says that Orton really just wants TK to shake his hand.
Oh, of course. Dick Kay and Orton. Yeah, of course. Gotta keep it consistent. And I love Tiger Mask's response to Randy Orton. And he was like, Tiger Mask from New Japan said, "You were saying?" And he had the article of Randy Orton sexually harassing WWE creative and the Dick Kay article. So, yeah, that was a great comeback, Tiger Mask. Anything else?
Austin says, Khan hit him with the back-to-back.
Back-to-back-to-back.
Listen, man, you want to take an L, man. He took an L. He got a lot of W's, but he definitely took an L on that one.
So before we run through all the bigger, all the other news that we got to go through, one more big news article that we got to go through is the results of week 8 of the Wednesday Night Wars. So after 7 weeks straight of AEW Dynamite dominating NXT in the ratings war, NXT finally gets a victory.
What?
NXT gained 916,000 viewers for last night's episode of NXT to AEW Dynamite's 893,000. NXT did, however, still lose in the 18 to 49 demographic. Mm-hmm. AEW got 0.39 while NXT had a 0.30. But I am sorry, I'm going to say this, I'm going to be the bearer of bad news for all you WWE marks.
This is the only last one?
The niggas had to throw everyone on the fucking roster for them to win once? Are we? So literally, what WWE is going to take from this, or should take from this, they need to bring the wild card rule to NXT.
Oh, no.
Yes. Oh. Yes. If they're going to win this ratings war, they have to bring the wild card rule to NXT, or they're going to go right back to losing next week.
I mean, they're going to lose next week.
Probably.
They're going to lose next
week.
Survivor
Series is going to be over.
You know what? The reason why I clap for it is because, yo, God, I mean, we were on the chat last night. That was probably the best Wednesday combined.
Yes.
Of both shows since this shit has started.
That's true.
And we were calling it from watching the shows. NXT won that first hour because they threw everything at the table and it was done so well. So the problem with NXT is that gap was too long. That hour two gap was too long.
Yo,
because cool down was too
they
long.
Booked.
Oh, because they booked everything at the beginning. And
yo,
then they had another,
like they came at you, yo. Like,
so NXT, what you're saying is from like 8:45.
If NXT
like,
was a 1 hour show, that would have been the show of 2019.
I'm sorry. I feel like someone on this show's been saying that for the past fucking 7 weeks.
But, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
I've been saying this for seven fucking weeks.
But like the ladder match between Drago and Adam Cole, baby, was actually pretty good. I do not call him Dijak or whatever you want to call him. I call him Drago. Dijokovic. I call him Drago.
Dijokovic.
I call him Drago. If he dies, he dies.
Yo, I'm sorry.
So what you're saying is from like 8:45-ish, maybe like 9:20, it just was like...
No, from 8:45 to like 9:40.
To like main event.
To 9:45.
To literally main event.
That
time.
Was... No, not 8:40, because I think the Revival Undisputed Era match,
was really
which was
good.
One of the best matches
really
I've seen on...
It was like the top of the hour.
Yes.
Like from that, the top
that,
of the
yeah,
hour
no, it started
on.
Before the top of the hour.
So
like 8:45. From 8:45 to 9:05. That was one of the better matches. I love that match.
I love the
that was
like the
that was
hour. From like nine from How like nine much? Something right until main event time. That's a 40-minute dud.
That was the best match that NXT has had on USA Network since it's got on USA. But it
not
was
a better match last week was good too though.
Not better than that. Not better than Revival versus Undisputed.
Match
to me, to me,
it was really good.
To me,
really
I love the ladder match. That ladder match, Mia Yim became a star. The
oh
Busted
God.
Nose
that
and everything
match was awesome last week too. Yeah. Like,
but,
NXT, I thought was going to come really close with that match, but...
I could have sworn it was going to win last week.
The reason why I'm highlighting Revival versus Undisputed Era, because they made Revival baby faces.
They
Revival
did.
Were
Yo,
the baby faces.
Right.
They are
and
heels,
but how
and
predictable
they got the
was that?
Pop.
How yeah. predictable
it was
that?
Very predictable.
So, I mean, that was kind of made me, like, not feel like that match was as good as it was going to be, because it was so predictable. It was like you knew that was exactly going to happen once that match occurred, but they still delivered one hell of a match. But I think going forward with this strategy, if there's this one thing that any company needs to learn from this, especially these idiots at WWE, they need to start these shows out with a bang.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, they need to
start
these
someone,
shows
someone
off.
Strong, yeah.
So remember back in, like, the 98, 99 days? Yo, the opening segment was on Raw.
Yes.
You
was it like
better not miss the first 15 minutes of Raw.
Even SmackDown,
you
though.
Better not miss the first 15
and,
minutes of
and
Raw.
And honestly, last night, both shows were like that. Because
right.
with Becky starting off the show on NXT, it made it hot from the beginning. And the best match I have seen in the Wednesday Night Wars happened last night with Nick Jackson versus Phoenix in the opener for AEW Dynamite. That was nonstop action for a good 15 minutes. It was one of the best matches I've seen on TV all year in 2019.
I literally said that's the best match in Nick Jackson's career. Mm. Like, wow. 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 Singles run ahead of him and his future. Because I think he's going to go longer than Mac. Because Mac has a real back problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Let's hear from the Spotlight and the True Heels.
Two comments. Steve Salvage says the crowd was fully into the Revival Undisputed Era match.
Mm-hmm.
And from Jamie Tannock, the problem for NXT is that WWE spent years conditioning people to think of it as less than the main roster.
Yeah.
So now
yeah.
people don't want to bother with the developmental show
yeah.
because it won't be as good as the main roster.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Jamie, I don't give you credit for your comments that much, but that was a very on-point analysis. That is very true. But honestly, this is the second closest that the Wednesday Night Wars has been in. And the fact that NXT threw so much into this episode and only won by 23,000 viewers, I'm a little concerned for NXT and the WWE side.
I'm not concerned because the fact that it gave us a banging week of wrestling. So it's like,
I think they're capable of doing it again.
It's like, all right, you know they're not going
to
have the star power there. They're not going to have all the stars there. But now it kind of highlights, it highlighted the Matt Riddles. It showed Rhea Ripley what she's capable of. It showed what, like, it gave the highlight, it gave the spotlight to the people that's on NXT. So the fact that you've seen how good these people actually are, they're not just bodies. These are really, really talented people. They actually might have done something, but we'll see in the weeks to come. Mm-hmm. But I think it gave them a spotlight that they needed.
All I'm going to say is that I liked the Becky versus Rhea Ripley. I loved the Revival versus Undisputed Era. I was very surprised by Viking Raiders versus Forgotten Sons.
I'm sorry.
And the main event was really good. The last brawl at the end was really good. But there was way too many t-shirt brawls. And I was very much annoyed. And I was very much done with this Survivor Series.
I swear to God, that Ricochet Matt Riddle, that three to four minutes was
But it made me upset that I only got 3 minutes of it. So that's all it did. That's all it really did.
That shit gives you blue balls.
Anyway, so we got to go through a couple of our other WWE news. Cain Velasquez is going to have his second WWE match on November 30th. The WWE Mexican Super Show is going to be Cain and Humberto Carrillo
versus.
It's going to be Cain Velasquez and Humberto. WWE Mexican Super Show is going to be in Mexico. It's a house show in November 30th. He's going to have his second WWE match teaming with Humberto Carrillo to verse the OC. The New Day's Feel the Power.
Name Alberto Del Rio. Like, his name is like the same shit.
Humberto Carrillo.
The same thing.
It rhymes.
The same shit.
You say all Mexicans sound the same?
No.
Oh.
That's not what I said.
Chrissy Cornette.
That's so racist.
You know what? Fuck
that.
I ain't saying that no more. Fuck that.
The New Day.
That's so racist.
The New Day's Feel the Power podcast joins Corey Graves' After the Bell podcast as the second to join the WWE Podcast Network. It's going to debut on Monday, December 2nd. ACH has officially been released from WWE, and he has been advertising that he's going to be ACH. The artist formerly known as Jordan Miles, he's going to be premiering at Heavy Metal Wrestling as well as Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. And he decided to throw some shade at WWE and Vince McMahon on Twitter. And he said, "You can't stop the culture."
Really, Chrissy Clinton? Yeah,
that's
so fucking
shocking.
R-Truth's new single featuring Carmella is released, and it's called "Run It." He didn't steal that from Chris Brown, I'm sure. Nikki Cross signs a multi-year extension with WWE. Yes, Ember Moon to be out 8 to 12 months following surgery.
Damn, what did she have surgery on?
I believe her Achilles or her shoulder or something.
I didn't really care.
It's Ember Moon, as you know.
Yeah, we went over this.
We went over this a couple of episodes ago.
But no, she made it official on WWE Backstage. She showed up.
Yeah, we went over this a couple of episodes ago. Oni Lorcan is the latest
WWE superstar to ask for his release. He changed his social media account to his old independent wrestling name, Biff Busick, and he decided, he gave a release to WWE his request over a month ago, but we are still don't know if he's going to be released.
Oni Lorcan asked for his release.
Yes, Oni Lorcan.
For what?
Because he's not being used.
Where the fuck is he going to go?
Nowhere.
He can go to Impact Wrestling. He can go Oni to Ring of Honor.
Oni Lorcan?
Yes. Gonna go to Ring of Honor. He can go back to CCW.
Anywhere he wants. Right.
And
anybody gives a fuck in the year 2019 where the fuck Oni Lorcan went.
Can you turn it off the air?
Yep.
AEW news. AEW Bash at the Beach announcement earlier in the week for January 15th AEW Dynamite episode. It will be at the University of Miami, and it's going to be a two-part episode.
I feel like it should be a pay-per-view, not a regular Dynamite show.
They got to bring eyes to the show.
I mean, yeah.
That if it's called Bash at the Beach, it's going to lead to all the old WCW fans watching it on TNT.
I mean, it got a connection.
Do you want to hear everybody complain? I want to see Bash at the Beach, but I don't want to pay $50 like every fucking time we have an AEW pay-per-view and we hear that shit.
All
right, and then 100. Guess what? Also, I didn't have this on my notes, but AEW Full Gear almost did 100,000 buys once again. So all you stupid idiots online that go, "Oh, no one's gonna pay $50 for a pay per view now that the network is $9.99." Three times in a row, AEW did a pay per view, and 100,000 people went out on pay per view and spent $50. Just saying.
Just saying.
Maybe you should shut up or think before you type. I'm just saying.
Mouth is full. They got WWE balls in their mouth. Take them out.
Please. AEW lineup for next week's Thanksgiving Eve AEW Dynamite in Chicago, back at the home where everything started for AEW, the Sears Center. The lineup is packed. Chris Jericho versus Scorpio Sky for the AEW World Championship.
That'd be great.
Omega versus Pac 2 back in Chicago Sears Center. MJF versus Hangman Page in the finals of the Dynamite Dozen for the AEW Dynamite Diamond Ring. And the return of the American Nightmare Cody next week in Chicago. New Japan News.
It's a fucking pay-per-view lineup.
Absolutely.
Right.
It is.
That's
it's stacked.
Goddamn pay-per-view lineup.
It's stacked. John Moxley
AEW
is
kicking your ass, bro.
The only New Japan news is John Moxley is still expected to work Wrestle Kingdom 14, even with the conflict between New Japan and AEW. ROH news. I'm gonna end with the good stuff. Don't worry. First, the good news.
I was really trying to limit my drinking tonight.
Mexican star Flamita has signed a new deal with Ring of Honor.
Flamita.
Kenny King and versus Rhett Titus has been added to Final Battle Fallout,
which will take place on
December 15th in Philly. But now to the bigger news, breaking news: ROH Woman of Honor World Champion Kelly Klein. We talked about this on True Hill Heat 53.
Tell me she got money. Did she get money?
She did not get her $24,000 a year raise that she asked for, like we talked about on True Hill Heat 53. What? No. She got fired. She got officially fired today. Her husband, BJ Whitmer, went on Twitter and basically said that Kelly was fired by Ring of Honor, by the COO, Joe Koff, via email. Not a phone call, via email. And Kelly Klein is still currently out with a concussion that she did not receive concussion protocol from Ring of Honor for.
What?
So
she can sue them. Sue them.
Ring of Honor just released a response to this press release. They said that they don't usually go public with personal issues, but since the other parties seem to have made it public, they will say they did not fire Kelly Klein. They just chose not to renew her contract.
What? That's horrible. That is the most saddest shit I've ever heard in my life. How could you not give her what she wants?
$24,000.
Just $24,000. Fuck ROH, yo. Everyone should don't pay that subscription ever again, yo. Fuck them niggas, yo.
I just want to say, ROH, you're on your deathbed.
They've been dead.
It's been a great ride watching y'all for the past 18 years. I've had ups and downs. My good friend in the studio audience, Security Stagy, knows my history with Ring of Honor. It goes way, way back. I have a 15-year relationship with Ring of Honor. But my family member is on their deathbed, and I think I'm about to pull the plug. I am not going to go to any Ring of Honor event in 2020. I am saying it right now on True Hill E 55. I will not be going to any Ring of Honor event for 2020. You cannot do this to this young woman. This young woman asked for $24,000 a year to put her body on the line to get a concussion, and you refused.
That's horrible. I'm sorry. It's horrible.
Finish off the top news. Number one contender for the Impact World Championship.
Fuck you, ROH.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah.
Go straight to hell, you pieces of shit.
Tessa Blanchard announces that she is now engaged to Impact Wrestling and Mexican star Daga this week. Congratulations to Daga and Tessa Blanchard. I'm going to personally be congratulating you, Tessa, this weekend. I'm going to see you at the British J Cup in London, England. So I'm going to personally congratulate you for your engagement. Congrats. Impact announces a TV deal with South Africa, so they're expanding. Mance Warner versus Jimmy Havoc in a no-ropes barbed wire match has been announced for MLW Zero Hour on January 11th. Timothy Thatcher versus Richard Holiday, Davey Boy Smith Jr. versus Shinjiro Atani, and Contra Unit versus Strong Hearts added to the MLW Opera Cup in New York City at the Melrose Ballroom on December 5th. And finally, MLW re-signs Joseph Smiley following re-signing MLW Heavyweight Champion Jacob Fatu. Let's hear from the Spotlight and the True Heels before we move on.
Chris says, someone take ROH out back and put him out of their misery.
Yes.
Old Yella.
True Heel Maurice says, this was some straight bullshit by ROH. Just plain disgusting.
Absolutely.
Yo, $24,000 is not even rent.
Nope.
Like, that's not even rent.
Nope.
Like, so... You dismissed your best talent because you couldn't pay her $26,000.
If she would have,
no, they couldn't pay her $24,000.
No, I mean
that's what she asked
she
for.
She might have wanted.
No. That's what she asked for. That's what she asked for.
So she got paid less.
She's been making less than $24,000. She asked for $24,000, and they turned her down.
It's just,
I'm just
per year, to wrestle.
The country is
this is America.
Larry, this is what I'm saying.
What the fuck?
This is in America.
This woman is putting her body and her boobs on the line for this. Yo, she is the boob keeper. She has the best boobs in wrestling. And she is going to put her body on the line. Her name is Kelly Klein. Like, I can't understand.
You're doing research.
So we was talking about this prior to, like, their fucking main event is fucking Root and fucking PCO.
It's actually going to be a good match. It's going to be a good match.
That's their biggest show of the year.
It's just, I don't know.
Roosh and PCO?
Yes.
I don't.
Huge. Big time.
I don't even know what to say.
Big time.
I can't
Mexican.
But they can't pay a woman $24,000.
She's the top star on that show.
They just re-signed PCO, though. And signed Fermita to a deal.
I don't even want to hear the contract. I don't even want to hear it.
$25,000. That's how much he's getting.
I bet you he is probably getting north of $60,000 to $70,000.
What? That's not surprising. Damn.
But that's the slap in the face.
No.
The slap in the face. I didn't say she was a dime. I just said she had the best boobs in wrestling.
He looked upset. He looked upset.
Yeah, my man, Mr. Love looked disappointed. I just talk about boobs.
He did not look happy. It's fine.
That, listen, man. Her boobs are worth more than $24,000 fucking dollars.
Worth. She got to get it re-up like every 10.
Right. Minutes. You know what I mean? Every 10 matches, she got to get them shits redone.
I don't know where this conversation is going, but this is what happens. So, we don't have any events to cover that happened during the week. It's been a slow week. We got more events to come that we're going to talk about for this weekend. So, real quick, I want to... quiz the top guy JJ and Miss Chrissy Love. What was your guys' best match that you saw this week? Whether it was on SmackDown, Raw, NWA Power, AEW Dark, AEW Dynamite, or NXT, what was the best match you saw and why?
This week.
I'll tell y'all off the bat, I said it before, I'll say it again.
My number one match all week was Nick Jackson and Phoenix.
Nick Jackson and Phoenix was amazing because these are guys that usually are working 10 minutes at a time or 5 to 6 minutes because they have their tag team. They have their brother. And the story of them both being the little brother and always trying to eclipse their older brother, I love that little intricacy that Excalibur added to it. But some of the stuff they were pulling off, and how smooth, how seamless it was. Oh, it was one of the best worked matches of the entire year.
But now I'm going to say my best WWE match.
Because and he loves WWE.
No, remember, he's an undercover WWE mark. We all love WWE at the end of the day. This surprised me because it was actually much better than I anticipated. And it wasn't the best match of the WWE. It was my favorite because they actually delivered an NXT-level match. Mm. Kevin Owens and Drew McIntyre on Monday Night Raw.
Yes.
Wow. I haven't seen a match on Raw like that. A match on Raw like that in a long time. I'm not saying it was the best match of the WWE week, but that shit surprised the shit out of me. And that shit was really damn good.
I loved when I seen Drew McIntyre come back on NXT. I was like, oh, this is some good shit right here. They know how to do it. All the guys are just like, oh, fighting at the end. And like they must have did, I don't know how many somersaults outside of the damn ring. It was just really, really good. As far as match is concerned for this week, I'm going to go Revival and Undisputed Era.
Okay. I like it. Three completely different choices. Why did you like Revival versus Undisputed Era?
It just showed you, like, I think this week highlighted tag teams.
Yes.
Tag teams got a lot of shine this week. Well, it's not over yet, but I think between Monday and Wednesday, it highlighted the tag team division that we lost a lot of, that we was complaining that we didn't see enough of. We saw it this week. And not for nothing, that match from last night was phenomenal. Love the Undisputed Ever. You know, those are my guys, so.
You know what I did enjoy? The Viking Raiders versus Randy.
I was very much surprised by Viking Raiders versus Forgotten Sons because once I saw Forgotten Sons come on, these guys can tell you in the group chat, I was like, okay, NXT's lost me for the night because it was the Forgotten Sons. But I saw the finish to that match, and cartwheels and then Ivar going nuts. That was great. I want to hear from you guys. Spotlight True Heels, our YouTube channel. Put in the comments section what you guys thought was the best match of the week. Let's hear from the Spotlight and the True Heels now.
Looks like you got three people who agree with JJ. Jamie Tannock, Steve Salvage. Jamie Tannock again, so just two. agree with JJ about KO versus Drew. And Troy Bowden liked Revival versus Undisputed Era.
Nice.
Overall, this is what we all won this week. Yes. All of us won this week. Yep. We got a great fucking week of wrestling matches this week, which I was ecstatic about, man.
A shout out to the Young Bucks versus Strong Hearts from AEW Dark. That was 7 minutes of nonstop action in the main event for AEW Dark. Best promo of the week. If you guys say anything other than what I'm about to say, I'm going to be very disappointed in you guys. The promo of the week was SCU and Chris Jericho. Hands down, it had comedy. It had building up to a matchup.
And it was back again on last night.
It had building up to a matchup. It had a star being put over because Scorpio Sky looked like a star across from Chris Jericho. Yep. It had basically little detail, attention to detail. Like the little attention to detail that I found out after the fact is that Chris Jericho, for over 30 years, has wanted to do the promo that started off the whole segment with him apologizing for his actions last week after losing to Scorpio Sky. He saw one of the older episodes of Happy Days with Fonzie, and Fonzie wasn't able to say sorry, and that's what he did in the beginning of his promo with having Jake Hagar basically say sorry for him and all that stuff. That part was great. Then following that, the whole interaction between SCU and Chris Jericho was just comedy extreme. I want to say it was one of the funniest bits I've seen in professional wrestling in the year 2019. I loved it. Everything about it. So what did you guys think? What was the promo of the week or non-wrestling segment for you guys?
Mr. Love, here you go.
What about you, Top Guy JJ?
I mean, while Miss Love marinates on it, I mean, I can't disagree with. I mean, literally, like once they clashed on TV, I literally said, "You gotta love SCU."
Like, he's definitely
gotta love SCU. And then what they did after that. This is why Jericho is the GOAT, man.
This is why Jericho is the GOAT.
This is why Jericho is the GOAT.
I trust and believe it was awesome because He's at his prime right now.
He makes every promo sound important. Like, everything seems important with him, yo. And it was just like, yo, something important is about to happen with, like, something's about to happen here. Like, yo, first of all right, security's about to break our whole set. Security's about to break, about to tear down the whole room.
You gotta move the thing out the way.
Just try to make you, I'm fucking seeing shit flying over here and shit. What the fuck is going on over here? But when Jericho came out and started spewing, it's kind of like, you can tell, like, he turned something magical with MJF last week.
Yes.
And it was so annoying that it was so good.
Yep.
And then,
because they were both annoying each other. And then
he knew that, it's like, Jericho is so good, is that he knows who to do these annoying promos with and then who to just get the crowd connection with. And he did that with fucking Scorpio Sky Boy. Oh my god.
Just so many different things. Yeah. Like the whole Scorpio, like, basically saying that his life has changed. He's got his high school sweetheart that wants to go out with him next week. And then Jericho turning around and saying, your high school sweetheart gained a lot of weight. Gained a lot of weight over the years. And then Scorpio Sky responds with, I like big butts and I cannot lie. One of the best comebacks of the year from a professional wrestler.
I gotta look that up,
man. It was just awesome. Just the little reverse psychology bit by SCU against Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho acting like this prevalent child who just wanted to do the opposite of everything SCU. I don't deserve an AEW world title shot. Oh, you don't deserve it? You could have got one. Oh, you need a month? You need 2 weeks? Yeah, it's gonna happen next week. It was like, oh, okay, now it's official. We shook hands. Yo, hilarious. Let's hear from the Spotlight and the True Heels. What you guys thought was the best promo or non-wrestling segment of the week?
Chris says, Becky had a good backstage promo where she basically said, fuck the brands, I just want a strap.
Facts, that's a good one. And honorable mention to Triple H, too. His shit with Kevin Owens was spot on, too.
That was really good, but I'm sorry, Chris, it doesn't count. It was an exclusive. It wasn't even on TV, so.
Jamie Tannock says, shout out to Melody Parsons. She gained weight since high school, but she's still a dime piece.
She is. She's one of a kind.
And Drunk Guy JJ says that the pro of the week was Lana on Raw.
No!
You still owe that shit a shot.
90 days, 90 miles, 90 feet.
90 miles.
So is she, like,
yo, this dumbass chick,
like,
yo.
She's pregnant, she's not pregnant.
A 90-mile restraining order.
She's what? I'm so confused about the whole shit. I don't know what they are doing with that whole thing.
And it's like, I get so flustered. Like, shut the fuck up.
Horrible. She was messing up her word. I was like, what are you doing?
Horrible.
Please stop.
It was horrible.
This is why we didn't have her on TV for so long.
Exactly. So my final question for you guys for the week, what was your favorite moment that happened, I guess, outside of, like, promos or wrestling, whether it was on TV or online? It's going to be a two-parter for me. I'm going to say TK's response to Orton on Twitter. And Seth Rollins getting booed out of Full Sail. And Seth's not cool chance. Seth's not cool.
Oh,
Seth's not cool.
Shit.
Seth's not cool. Seth's not cool.
I don't even know what to say. I don't have nothing else to say. Like,
drink to that.
It's your moment. It's your favorite moment.
What was your favorite moment?
Could be the same. Could be something different.
I was about to say, that was, like, the funniest shit I've seen. Like, and then he was just like, he was like, then I just, then go, it's just, yeah, I can concur. I can disagree with that one. I mean, like, it was just like, you've dug yourself in this hole now, and, like, there's no coming out, because no one really gives a shit about you. Like, you got the title, then you lost it. Like, no one gives a shit anymore about you. Like, fuck off. Like, that's
That was the craziest part of last night's, like, NXT, because I said to these guys in the chat, that was not an invasion by Raw and SmackDown. That was an NXT reunion show.
Literally,
everyone they had from Raw and SmackDown were on NXT like 6 months ago.
Right.
Ricochet, War Raiders, Street Profits, all these motherfuckers was on the show like 6 months ago. So it felt like a reunion show until Seth Rollins came out and they reacted like he was an enemy. They finally reacted like he was somebody that was invading.
Right. At first it was like, chanting. Then it was like, wait, no, we don't like you, so we're gonna boo you.
Well, to be fair, Full Sail is very fickle because they went from booing them to burn it down. Then Chopper came out, Daddy's home. I was just yo, Full Sail, your motherfuckers are petty and fickle. Y'all niggas changed y'all mind like 4 times in 8 minutes. It was ridiculous.
I mean, to end it, I would just say literally my favorite moment of the whole week was realizing how good a fucking singles competitor Nick Jackson is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That
four singles matches for Nick
Jackson. Yes.
One more comment from Steve Salvage. Scariest moment was the paradigm shift from Mox on Darby from a middle row.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Holy. That was one of the best finishes.
Yes.
Holy fuck. And that was, oh my God. He almost killed this kid.
Yep.
And I love the fact that I was chatting with Top Guy JJ, and he was like, you know, Darby Allin, I want to get into him, but he doesn't make his offense realistic. That whole match, all of his offense was 100% realistic. He stomped on Moxley's hand. he broke his hand by stomping it.
Yo, it's like they spent the match convincing me.
Yeah, they literally heard you.
Yes.
They spent the match convincing me.
Because I was like,
so first of all, before anybody says anything stupid,
that was one of the best entrances of 2019.
Like, not on a skateboard down the damn ramp.
This is not a superstar Billy Graham reference. So for anybody that says anything stupid. I just literally was like, I just wish that he was like 20 to 25 pounds bigger. Because I don't believe that anything that he can do is going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't believe, like, he's not even skinny. He's a baby.
Oh, like, come on. He's not Marco.
He is literally 3 pounds bigger than Baby Seth.
But that's about 100 pounds more than Marco Stunt. So, no.
He's great at what he does. It's just like, damn, you can't fight nobody that's like 200 plus. Because it's like, are you really going to hurt them? That was just my only gripe. And it's like, damn, it's like he did every little tactical thing that can hurt bigger people. Like, he stepped on hands, like he hit knees. He threw his whole fucking body at you. I literally like, this dude is a crash dummy.
He's a crash dummy.
And it's like, he did it, man. He fucking did it, his little ass.
What happened in the NXT was Keith Lee and who else? Ibar
had a fucking week, boy. Ibar had a week. That exchange with Ricochet on Raw was fucking awesome, too.
That was good. But, I mean, I saw it better at NXT TakeOver.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But we gotta get into the big weekend we've been building up for. We gotta get into Survivor Series weekend. You guys, put in the comment section for our YouTube channel, what was your favorite moment from television or online in wrestling this week? So, TakeOver War Games this Saturday is a big show.
Woo!
Two huge War Games matches, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to be the heel here. The worst built TakeOver in the history of TakeOvers.
True.
I'm just going to say it.
They do focus on Survivor Series, that's why.
They've been trying to play.
It's only because they have the three brands going against each other that they didn't really focus on War Games.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to say this as well. The Women's War Games is the most hot shot shit I've seen in years. How did all these girls go from, I want a shot at Shayna. I want a shot at Shayna. I want a shot at Shayna. And Bianca and Io is just like, you know what, Shayna? We're going to team with you. I don't know why, but we're going to team with you.
Didn't I say that to you last week, though? No. I was like, now all of a sudden, so we're going to fight with her? Instead of against her, we didn't like her. I said that last week. I said that from the get-go.
Yes.
Like, the whole girls War Games is cool and it's hot, but I was like, the teams, whoever put them together, is dumb. It's stupid. It's really stupid.
There were so many other ways to put this together and make it make sense.
I could have swore they would have put Shayna with her two girls that she already got, and she could have picked someone else to go with it. I was like, wait, how she have a team and she got her home girl and not even on her damn team?
Pretty much. If they're going to do a three-way for all these stuff at Survivor Series, should have been three, four teams women. You got Shayna, Marina, and Jessamyn. Put Kaylee Ray with them versus Bianca, Io, Mia Yim.
You could have put
Io with the Kabuki Warriors.
You could have put them with the Kabuki Warriors. You really could have. And it still would have probably been okay or good, if that. I don't have really much high hopes for this match. I'm sorry.
I mean, this is a great takeover card on paper.
Right.
It's forced and it's not a good build.
I'm going to have more faith in the performance than
the
build.
This show is going to be
probably one of the best overall weekends of the entire 2019.
I wouldn't be surprised, but it had to be said that this is the worst takeover build.
Because you know why? Because it's like, all right, they're going to take a hit in that booking department because it's like, come on, WWE ain't that good.
Yeah.
They can't do a good Survivor Series and, like, come on, they have to take a hit somewhere. Yep. Like, they're going to focus
on
that.
The Survivor Series build up ain't that good either. It's not. We had a great go home show last night. I'm sorry. Two good shows out of eight is not a good build up. I'm just gonna say it's not.
I mean, listen,
that's two out of eight. That's one out of four. That's a 25% conversion. If you need the math, thank you, StatKing. If you're watching,
we need to focus more on these potential matches that we're getting on the card. I'm more focused on the card that's developed than really, like, look, listen, man, I was happy as fuck on Wednesday. I got a halfway decent Raw,
yeah.
Which is not something that I've been able to say for God knows how long.
Thank God for Samoa Joe.
Like, it's not like, yo,
I'm
taking these little wins because, like, yo, WWE's been such shit.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I'm getting some wins here, and then I got this super win on Wednesday, yo, I'm good going into the weekend.
Take it.
So
we're gonna start off with Finn Balor's return to NXT TakeOver. He's gonna go one-on-one with the original bro, Matt Riddle. I already know what you're going to predict, but go ahead.
You know why, it's a Finn fucking Balor.
No bad comments about the bro?
Yeah, how about
no bad comments?
You know, why do you want me to say more about him?
Yeah, you always do.
I don't like him. What do you want me to say? He's not winning. Fuck him.
Bro.
That's what I feel like he's going to do.
Bro.
You can say bro. He's not winning. Fuck him.
Who you got, JJ?
There is no way in God's green earth Finn Balor is losing his NXT return match.
Tello!
This is no way. This is no way. Like, no fucking
new
way. This is
going to
be the setup for Finn Balor getting an NXT title match in the future.
So we're going to see the Demon on Saturday, probably.
There's no fucking way Finn Balor's losing. There's no fucking way.
I don't think a demon is necessary, but, you know.
Hey, he could be a heel.
Matt Riddle is going to make it really cliffhanging, but he ain't losing.
It's going to be a great match. Yeah. Number one contenders match. The winner of this match gets a shot at Adam Cole in the NXT Championship the following night at Survivor Series. It's going to be Killian Dane versus Pete Dunne versus Damian Priest.
Who you got
in this one? This has been building for the last couple of weeks. Dunne versus Priest had two really good matches on NXT on USA television, but now this is the triple threat match after Pete Dunne basically broke the fingers for Killian Dane. Killian Dane has been going after him ever since, and now it's built up to this. Who you got?
Pete Dunne.
Who you got?
I think that's the obvious call. I'm going to go with Damian Priest. I think they're going to give him some notoriety. But I think what's going to happen with him is that I think that him getting this win here is going to put him in line for the North American Championship.
Well, no, the winner of this match gets a shot at Adam Cole.
Right,
the
following pay-per-view, but I don't think he's going to win.
No, not the following pay-per-view.
The following night on NXT.
What's up with everyone got to be
on
Survivor Series. I apologize. I don't think they're going to win that title match, but I think it's going to put them in that North American Championship picture.
Okay. I'm going with Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne just seems obvious. He's going to win.
Yep.
The first ever female War Games match is going to be Team Ripley, Rhea Ripley, Tegan Nox, Mia Yim, and Candice LeRae versus Team Baszler, Shayna Baszler, Io Shirai, Bianca Belair, and Kaylee Ray, the NXT UK Women's Champion. The order of entry advantage is to Team Baszler. Who you got in this one?
Not Team Baszler.
You going with Team Ripley?
Team Ripley.
All right. Who you got, JJ?
I got a question about that. Didn't y'all tell me that Kaylee Ray was not going to go to WWE?
Kaylee Ray?
Yeah.
Kaylee Ray is not Kylie.
Okay. I kind of thought that was almost like the same. Okay. Right. Thank you. Thank God. I just thought the name was butchered a little bit. I'm definitely going with Team Baszler.
I'm not going with Team Baszler for the simple fact that I feel like she will most likely win the following match the next day. That's why I don't see her winning both nights.
I agree. I'm going with Team Ripley in this one.
Thank you.
Who you got? The Men's War Games. It's the Undisputed Era. The NXT, champion Adam Cole, the North American champion Roger Strong, and the tag team champions Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly versus Team Ciampa, which is Tommaso Ciampa, Keith Lee, Dominik Dijakovic, and one more to be announced.
Not
so I'm going to need your winner. No, first I'm going to need your last prediction for Team Ciampa and who you think's
going
to win.
Not for nothing, I feel like Team Ciampa was just thrown together.
Yes, it was.
Like, just thrown in there. I feel like they didn't give Ciampa the team that he deserves.
I mean, it's all of this is thrown together.
Whole
card.
You're right. The whole card is.
It was supposed to be Balor versus Gargano. This whole card is thrown together. The triple threat match was supposed to be on Wednesday. It got thrown on this card. This whole shit is put together by Crazy Glue.
I thought that's like, wait, isn't this War Games? So I'm like, why are they having
Crazy Glue? He sticks.
Does.
You gotta deal with the shit, right?
I just don't understand the team, but whatever. Undisputed Era for sure is winning. Probably Gargano's injured, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it can't be him. Damn. Probably an old NXT person that we're probably not even gonna like. Kevin Owens.
I was gonna
Kevin
agree with
Owens
you there.
Is going to be it.
I was
that's
gonna,
the person.
I was
damn,
gonna
so wait, now, there. Wait. And Undisputed Era still is winning. Kevin Owens is my pick.
I'm going to agree with Chrissy Love there. I think it's going to be Kevin Owens.
Just because
Owens.
Of that whole like back and forth.
No, because they attacked him on Monday.
Bing, bing.
They attacked bing, him bing. On Monday without clearance from Triple H. So Triple H gets Owens to be the final member of Team Ciampa. But I agree with you. I think Undisputed Era gets the victory here. I think Adam Cole is going to pull the clean sweep for Survivor Series week.
Yes, I feel like he is definitely going to win. Oh, yeah.
But you got JJ.
And that's exactly why I don't think that he's going to win on Saturday. I don't think he's going to win on Saturday. I think that knot is going to end up going to the Soul Survivors. You know, I think that's going to go to the Survivors of Team Ciampa, Kevin Owens, and Ciampa's going to shine the most in this match, I believe.
I think
he's got to get the win there because I mean, this leads to other predictions, but I'm going with Team Ciampa on this one.
All right, so we got to move on to Survivor Series.
So that's all the matches for...
That's four matches for TakeOver. Yeah, the worst built TakeOver in history.
What? Like I said,
I am not going off of that topic, and I dare somebody in the comments section to argue it. Is this not the worst built TakeOver in history?
Yo,
someone make
yo,
a compelling
yo,
logical
him,
argument
text
that you
his,
think
text
it is.
Text him in his inbox. He won't shut up
so,
about
so,
it.
So, wait. Hold on. So, those are the ways. You have Finn and Bro. You have the
we
two.
We just went
right,
up.
It's
four
I'm,
matches.
It's
men's, women's, war games. Triple threat. Finn versus
the
Riddle.
War games match is going to be long.
It's going to be 1 hour for each Royal game.
So, it's going to be a 3-hour show.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to make it work.
We got to move on to Survivor Series.
Quick comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Jamie Tanok says, Sid trying to pronounce Dijakovic is like JR trying to pronounce Emi Sakura.
No, it's like JR trying to remember what move Hardcore Holly used to do. Anyway, the WWE Survivor Series pay-per-view is the following night.
That's
like
crazy.
We talked about, the winner of the triple threat match gets a shot at the NXT Championship. So over here to the left, top guy JJ predicted Damian Priest. So Damian Priest versus Adam Cole, who you got?
Adam Cole.
No, not you. He predicted
Adam Cole. Adam Cole.
Okay. You predicted Pete Dunne versus Adam Cole. The right answer. So who you got?
Adam Cole.
Adam Cole as well.
Sweet.
Yes.
Like you said, clean sweep.
Absolutely. Baby.
Let me go, baby.
And that's why I don't pick Adam Cole to win on Saturday because I know he's going to get the big win at Survivor Series.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so you got that big ass pop, y'all. Oh, that shit's got that music going to be
I mean, it's going to be in the same building.
I mean, but still.
So please, please listen, guys, because I am pretty sure even if you watch WWE all the time, you do not know the card for WWE Survivor Series.
You don't.
So I'm going to break it down for you.
I don't know it.
The traditional Survivor Series elimination match, it will be 5-on-5-on-5. Men's elimination match, Team SmackDown will be Roman Reigns, Mustafa Ali, Braun Strowman, King Corbin, and Shorty G.
Yo, what the fuck? Why would they put Shorty G on this shit?
The fuck is that? Team Raw is Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, and Ricochet.
What?
Team NXT? We had a whole 2 hours on Wednesday, and we still don't know.
No, Ryan, just what
the traditional
fuck?
Survivor Series elimination match. The women. Team SmackDown, Sasha Banks versus Carmella,
trash.
Lacey Evans,
trash, son.
Dana Brooke, and Nikki Cross.
Yo, that shit is bullshit, son. That is straight trash, son.
Team Raw, Charlotte Flair, Sarah Logan. How the hell did Sarah Logan get on the team?
What the fuck?
Natalya, Kairi Sane, and Asuka versus Team NXT. 120 minutes last night, and we still don't know a single person on Team NXT Women.
So we don't know who's on the NXT Men and Women team?
Yes. So who you got winning the elimination match for the men? Who you got winning the elimination match for the women?
Can I just go back to the people that are on the Raw SmackDown team on the women's side? So you got... Where did we find Sarah Logan? Where the fuck was she at? Where the fuck is the rest of the fucking Raw squad at? Like... Who, wait, why, when, how, like, is she coming out to the Riot Squad music, like, what, who's, Charlotte, you gotta put your foot, like, you was the captain of this team, like, you should have picked your own people, like, this is, Team SmackDown of Sasha Banks, Carmella, if we don't get Carmella the right color stockings, please, oh my god. Carmella, you got late. Where the fuck is Dana Brooks in this whole guy? She's gonna be the first one eliminated. I swear to you, everything.
So who you got? Who you got for the woman? Who wins and who's the sole survivor?
Damn, like this is some. I can't even go to the bathroom because the matches is gonna be mad long. Like,
For the women, I'm going for Team Raw, sole survivors Charlotte and the Kabuki Warriors.
All three of them?
Yes. The men's match, I'm going for Team Raw, probably Seth.
So you're saying one from NXT is winning from these two matches?
No.
Yeah, we haven't got JJ.
Who you got? The men's and the women's elimination match. Who you got? The winning team and sole survivor.
Yo, it's like once we got to Survivor Series, I just got deflated.
Yeah, it's like he just
it's like
y'all had a build up to takeover.
Y'all had all this build up, and it's like a big letdown. I'm looking for like one match.
One good match from Survivor Series. Off this big ass,
true.
All right, so
my predictions for the women, I'm going to go with Team Raw. Sole survivor is going to be Charlotte Flair by herself.
For sure.
Survivor Series men's match, I'm going to go with Team SmackDown. Sole survivor is going to be King Corbin.
Ooh, that's a good answer. Good one.
Because King Corbin is going to cause Roman to get eliminated.
Yes.
With the big dog mascot.
Shorty G might still be in there and survive with him, but I'm definitely picking King Corbin as a survivor.
Alright, my answer. I'm going to agree with you both with Team Raw.
Have fun reviewing that, Mr. Love.
I mean, we got Team Raw, Charlotte Flair is the survivor. Men,
That should be Sarah Logan.
No, my God. If it is, no, please, no. I'm taking 3 shots. I promise you. I will take 3 shots. And I will film it for you guys. I'm taking 3 shots. If it is Sarah Logan, I'm going, no. For the men's team, definitely probably going to be SmackDown. I think that is the most obvious answer would be is King Corbin because he's an asshole.
I think if SmackDown wins, it's gonna be Roman and Roman and Braun, actually.
Braun is gonna get himself eliminated.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
He's gonna run and get himself countered.
So the next match for Brand Supremacy is the United States Champion AJ Styles versus
the
North American Champion Roderick Strong versus the Intercontinental Champion Shinsuke Nakamura.
I don't really see doing much, but I'm looking forward to seeing Roderick and AJ. I want Roderick to win so bad, but I know AJ will win.
Who you got, JJ?
I'm going with Shinsuke Nakamura finally getting a victory over AJ Styles.
Really? I'm agree with Chrissy Love. I'm going with AJ Styles. Raw is going to be 2 on the board.
Yeah.
The Viking Raiders, the Raw Tag Team Champions, versus the NXT Tag Team Champions, the Undisputed Era, versus the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, The New Day. Yeah, actually, I'm going to change my men's prediction to Team SmackDown with Roman and Braun winning. I forgot. I can't pick Raw too many times. So that's 2 Raw, 1 SmackDown for me. Who you got in the tag team triple threat? I'm going to go with The New Day. SmackDown's own The New Day in this
SmackDown need to win, so probably just... I want Undisputed Era to win so bad. Just have him run... You know,
he's going to do that.
I know he's going to see it. I want to see him do it as they leave, too.
He never does it as
he should, though. it's just old NWO. It's just so, old, authentic. It's just great. And the music is reminds me of it. Anywho. Okay, I'm going to go with the Viking Raiders are definitely not winning. New Day.
Who you got?
And with this is just corresponding and lining up with my predictions, I am going with the Undisputed Era to win this triple threat tag match for NXT. They gotta get on the board.
True. Okay, I changed my answer. That in the NXT, yeah.
We're gonna.
That's the only one that gonna get on the board. Everything else won't win. You're right.
There we go.
Yeah, you're right.
And this is why they're wrong. The women's battle triple threat match is the Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch versus the NXT Women's Champion Shayna Baszler versus the SmackDown
Shayna Baszler is definitely winning this shit. She's not losing.
Absolutely. Bayley got one up on the whole NXT roster by attacking them. And now she's about to take the L in this match via Shayna Baszler.
Facts.
So I'm going with Shayna. Who you got?
And for that exact reason, it's exactly why I'm picking Bayley.
Okay.
I'm going with SmackDown to re-enter the board because no one even thinks with an inkling that Bayley has a shot at winning this match. And Bayley is going to do some underhanded shit, and she's going to do some shady shit to beat Becky Lynch. She ain't going to beat Shayna Baszler.
Nah, I don't see it. I don't see them care about Bayley that much.
It's a Survivor Series.
Yeah, but nah.
No future title matches.
WWE Universal Championship is on the line. It's going to be The Fiend Bray Wyatt going one-on-one with Daniel Bryan. This one's going to be... Daniel Bryan. Who you got?
Bray Wyatt.
Of course.
Duh.
Who you got, JJ?
Why are we picking this match?
Who you got?
Dude, The Fiend... I'm never picking against The Fiend.
Okay.
I'm never picking against The Fiend. Going forward, on True Hill Heat, The Fiend wins every match on... Every prediction for every pay-per-view.
I'm going to predict The Fiend will get booed for the first time besides the finish of Hell in a Cell. He's going to get booed because Daniel Bryan knows how to get the fans against a heel.
He's the tree hugger?
Yes, the tree hugger himself. The planet's champion will get the fans to boo The Fiend. As well, I think that he will get WWE to not turn on that red fucking light. Please, dear God. Don't let that happen.
But The Fiend still wins.
Yeah, The Fiend's still going to win. The WWE Championship is on the
line. All of that. He did all of that to pick The Fiend.
He should be Captain
The Fiend ain't losing no more.
I never said Daniel Bryan was going
to
win.
The Fiend ain't losing no more matches until he
dies. I never said that Daniel Bryan was going to win.
The Fiend ain't losing no more matches until he dies.
WWE Championship is on the line. No holds barred. No disqualification match. It's going to be Brock Lesnar going one-on-one with Rey Mysterio.
Rey fucking Mysterio is winning this shit.
Whoa.
I think so. I think so.
Familiar sombrero.
I live in Dallas.
You remember the next show eating tortillas and shit? Damn.
Are you in this pick? Will you take a bet about this pick?
What's the bet?
Will you take a bet about this pick?
Alright.
If Rey Mysterio becomes the new WWE champion at the Survivor Series, I will wear a Becky Lynch shirt
the
next
two I'm not going to run the show.
You! Yes! Yes! Yes!
No!
Have to wear the Ronda Mania shirt when Brock Lesnar defeats Rey Mysterio for the WWE Championship.
Damn, I was just gonna challenge you for shots. This thing.
I was gonna say, let's do shots.
You just put your life on the line.
The fuck is wrong? No! I can't do that.
Come on! People in the comment section! All right, tell her! Tell her! She's
put her there, pal!
Shake my hand! It's official now! Shake my hand! That's now official. It is official. True Hill Heat 56. True Hill Heat 56. You will see me
don't
either
pull
wearing.
Up either.
You will
definitely wearing that shit. You definitely wearing that shit. I don't know what the fuck you just did. What the fuck?
Look, see, and mad people believe that Rey Mysterio is gonna win. See,
no,
what
hey. No, is that Rey about to get beat like the Cuervo Pano? Like, what the fuck are you reading?
So on True Hill Heat 56,
what are you reading?
You either see me in the man shirt, or you will see Chrissy wearing the Ronda Mania shirt. Oh,
Steve Salvage says Rey Mysterio wins because of Kane and Dominic and sets up a WrestleMania match.
With who?
A WrestleMania match not for the WWE title?
I think he means sets up Brock versus Kane. Because Kane,
not for the WWE
he
title?
He just beat Kane in 2 minutes.
Exactly.
Who
wants to see that again?
Ask Steve.
Right.
Mysterio is an easier way to put the belt. Yeah.
Hey, if you guys got arguments for it, let's hear it. Let's hear it from the spotlight and the True Heels.
I'm really thinking that is the obvious answer. Like, why would they put
no
Rey Mysterio against
because
Brock Lesnar.
Brock had no one else to fight, and Team
Brock
was
and he
team
assaulted
full,
the, he assaulted
and
his kid.
He just beat the whole family tree up, so might as well just beat up Papa.
Yeah, Papa, Papito.
That's the only reason why I think he's gonna beat him. There.
It's gonna be very drama filled. He's gonna look very close. It's gonna get very close. But once he throw Mysterio into a ring post, it's over.
No one wants to say it. I'm gonna say it.
What?
It's not 2006, and Eddie Guerrero didn't just die. Sorry.
No.
Anyway, moving on.
No,
but I'm saying that's why I'm saying Rey Mysterio ain't winning. It ain't 2006. Eddie Guerrero didn't just pass away, so he's not gonna get that big push.
My whole thing is that, like, why give Rey Mysterio this match then? Like, why?
Because it's telling a story.
Why give him this match? Like, why push him? Like, he's been on Raw for like back for like how long?
And they've been pushing him for months.
No, they haven't.
Yes, they have. Since at least July, they've been pushing the whole him thinking that he should retire. Then Dominic was the one that told him he shouldn't. Then Dominic was sitting front row when he was going for the title. And then Brock beat him up.
I will say.
Cruz would say he could win it one more time because his kid is going to beat it. I'm sure his whole goddamn family going to
come. I will say this has been the best booked WWE storyline of Survivor Series.
Yes, for sure. I agree.
I'm just saying.
I will go that far. I will say that.
I just think there's more of a why should Brock? And then Brock is going to probably get it right back. Like, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
He'll probably get it back on Monday.
He might wrestle on a Monday.
He might wrestle like it's 24 hours. Like he'll be so mad he wants the belt back. Like Paul Heyman's gonna give a crazy ass promo.
Maybe. Who knows?
All right, we got a deal.
We'll see. We got our T-shirt deal. True Will Heat 56.
You know what? I might have just read the best argument. The best argument from one simple comment.
Let's hear it.
It's a way to get the title off Brock so he can go back to Fox.
Exactly.
Fox wants Brock Lesnar. That was the best argument that I could have received for this match. Other than that, no chance in hell. That was the best argument that I could have made. I'm still not convinced.
Who said it?
Anthony, of course.
Anthony?
Behind the barricade.
Oh, thank you, Anthony. I like that. Anthony, yes, Beyond the Barricade Zone. Anthony, thank you for that. That was actually a compelling argument. But no. But no. They didn't just change the Universal title to Blue. So
Mark can come over and beat Veen
for it. I don't know. Hey, who knows? Maybe Chrissy Love is right, and you're going to see me in the man t-shirt.
She might have her Hardy Boys moment of 2017, like how I did. You know,
he did.
She might just have.
I've been wrong before.
It might just happen.
Oh, I'm straight calling your ass on across the pond. I'm like, oh.
It's going to be like 1 a.m. for me. So a plug real quick before we wrap things up on True Hill Heat 55. A plug for our new lineup. Like I said, later tonight or early tomorrow morning, we'll be dropping Ness XT, our NXT review with our good friend Pot Heel Ness. We got the AEW Dynamite review with Cash and Jimmy coming up tomorrow as well. And you're going to get a brand new edition of the 3 Count with SP3 this weekend, as well as True Hill Heat 55 will be up on our YouTube channel this weekend as well. We're also going to have the premiere of the lovely Miss Chrissy Love and the Lynch Clan, our good friend Mr. Larry Love, in our studio audience. He's going to be joining with the kids for our SmackDown review with the Lynches.
I can't wait for this.
We'll also have the...
I can't wait for this. When you talking about you about to get some unfiltered shit...
I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know.
I gotta wash my mouth.
Yeah, we don't cuss up around kids, so there's gotta be a part
in the house, and there's gotta be a part like outside.
We should have a swear jar that every time we cuss Larry.
You should.
That's the whole point. Like,
exactly.
It's funny.
Exactly.
You know how much time? You know how much time the kids love to correct us. Please.
There
you go. They're gonna be like, no, mom, no, dad. You gotta put it in the note. You know that.
Right, so you're going to get the family part, and then here's the real.
Right.
And also...
This is unfiltered with no children.
We'll also have the premiere of the Romeo Report with Romeo Colo this weekend.
I'm definitely going to switch, Chris. I am going to get one. I'm going to make one up.
Two more bonus segments for this weekend. We're going to have Ness. He's going to have a special TakeOver War Games review for this weekend on our YouTube channel, as well as Drunk Guy JJ will be live from Chicago, and he'll be reviewing Survivor Series. So, what you guys, tell them where they can find you on social media before we wrap things up.
TrueHill_TopGuyJJ. That's my Instagram, and Justin Johnson, simply my Facebook name. I'm just still reading some of this stuff. Like, yeah, you guys really like, yo, that Brock and Kane shit was bad.
Can I just read Chris's comment? Can you read it, please?
Says, of course it's gotta be Chris, right? Chrissy drank the whole bottle of tequila and ate the worm if she thinks Rey is winning.
good analysis, Chris.
That's Chris.
Chrissy, where can they find you?
You, the sensation Miss Chrissy Love on IG, or Chrissy Love _ Crystal on Lynch on Facebook. So see you guys soon. See you guys on Saturday. Looking for a great weekend of wrestling. Can't wait. See you guys next week. Well, I'll see you guys on Friday for SmackDown.
She sounds so excited about it. So,
my swear jar.
If you haven't already, become a part of the True Hills group page, as well as like and support the Spotlight, Pro Wrestling Spotlight, as well as True Hill Heat page. Dirt Sheet Radio is our good friend Jonathan. He has a great Facebook page as well. And Battle Club Pro is our promotion out here in New York. True Hill Heat on the Triddle Machine at True Hill Heat. Our YouTube channel is up and running, and brand new content is up on there. So check out Going Raw with Drunk Guy JJ, two editions of the 3 Count with SP3, and all the new segments that we got going on this weekend with Survivor Series. There's a lot to unpack.
Guy JJ needs to show now.
On True Hill Heat 56, we're going to have another announcement about more segments coming to our YouTube channel. So Chrissy just said we should have some for Top Guy JJ. You guys are probably wondering, why doesn't Top Guy JJ has his own segment? Stay tuned to True Hill Heat 56. So, for our resident True Hill alcoholic, top guy JJ, Bottom Girl, Miss Chrissy Love, we hope you guys all enjoy WWE Survivor Series weekend. So, for True Hill Heat 55 until True Hill Heat 56, in 2 weeks' time, we are signing off. Until next time.